All right, so we're doing in the Sefer HaYikarim, Maamar Rishon Perek Yud. So you know he doesn't break things down like the Rambam in terms of Yigam Likarim. He has three headings. His idea is to have three headings that are the principles of religion, and each heading has components. That's his halacha here. But so he says. So what are the three headings? So he says the first is Metzias Hashem. The second is Torah Min Hashamayim, and the third is Schar V'Onesh. Okay, and that's basically the setup of the book, right? Is the first Maamar he goes through explaining that those are the three, right? And giving you the basics of what each one contains, and then the second maamar is the first principle. The third maamar is the second principle, and the fourth maamar is the third principle, right? Okay. So what are the three? Metzias Hashem, and Metzias Hashem. And that what? And Torah Min Hashamayim, and Schar V'Onesh. Okay, so these three, there's no doubt they are the axioms. They are the principles of the necessary principles of religion. Because if you lose one of them, you'll lose the whole religious system. For instance, if you don't believe in Metzias Hashem, who commands the law, then there's no religious law. And even if you believe in Metzias Hashem, if you don't believe in Torah Min Hashamayim, you also don't have religious law. Okay? Now what about the last one? Vim ein shom schar ve'onesh gashmi ba'olam hazeh v'nafshi ba'olam habo lomo ze tesuda dos elohis. This is the strange one. In other words, why can't you say you have? Why can't you drop out Schar V'Onesh, right? Just say you believe in God, and you believe in God gave a law, right? He says unless there's Schar V'Onesh, you also don't have, you also lose the whole system of religious law. Why?
Why is Schar V'Onesh in this
case? That he's going to explain in a minute. He's going to explain that in a minute. Yeah. It's not really necessary. He really holds it's not necessary. Because he says, because if there's no Schar V'Onesh, so then what's the point of the whole thing? Im l'sakein sidr v'anogas ha'anoshim v'inyaneim k'dei sheyushlam yishuv ha'kibbutz ha'medini. If it's political science, right? If it's to where's Rindy? Why is watching the results tonight? If it's to keep the order, right, then you already have political science to take care of that. You have other systems of law. You don't need a religious. That's not what the religious law does. Of a year belief suffik, sheimotzei ados alo is he lahagia ha'enoshim el shlemus. It must be that religion is supplying a perfection that regular man-made law and order cannot supply. Okay? V'zeu ha-shlemus ha-nushi ha-nitla b'shlemus ha-nefesh k'mo shi'yavo. That perfection is the perfection of the soul. That's the point. That's the whole point of having a religion.
Is that not for the individual?
For the individual.
The individual cannot reach the perfection of the soul that comes from Torah without Torah.
Well, that's a good question. If it's he's talking about systems of law. Why would there be a system? Why would there be a system of law, a system of religious law? What's its purpose? What's its function? If it's just to create a civil society, then he's saying you don't need that, right? This is part of his argument for schar v'onesh. That's what we have to sort of understand. He'd be saying that if there's no schar v'onesh, then you would be saying there's no purpose in the law. If there's no schar v'onesh for the soul, then. I mean, it's true. You have to keep in mind what his point is. He has a somewhat of a unique. His point is not really telling you how man can reach perfection. He's not saying there's no other way to reach perfection other than this. He's trying to the Sefer HaYikarim is trying to define the necessary beliefs to have religious law. Right, so you're saying, yeah, you might be able to have perfection without religious law. That's true. But he's trying to say, he's working in terms of ikarim of religious law. So therefore, accepting Torah Min HaShemayim is an ikar. It wouldn't be a religious law. So he says, ulezehu mavorsha aschar v'onesh hanafshi hu ikar v'shorish el haTorah v'alois b'li safek. V'aschar ha'gufi ha'magia me'ashem yisbarach v'olam hazeh l'tzadik al-kiyam ha'mitzvos l'raya olav. That's your question, Ben. He really holds that the schar in the physical world is just a raya to the schar in olam haba. Yeah, but what does he mean by schar v'onesh here? Why is it, in what sense, how does he understand schar v'onesh in that? How does he understand schar v'onesh when he's calling it an ikar? It seems like he's not saying it's a. No, is he saying like this? What's his argument? His argument: if there were no schar, then there'd be no point of having the religious law. Right. So he's saying, what is the point of religious law? The perfection of the soul. So he doesn't mean schar like an extraneous reward, right? He means schar that there's a benefit of the thing. You know what I mean? And a consequence that there's benefits and consequences in the realm of the soul. That if you don't have that aspect, then that undermines the whole whole nature of religious law. Religious law is aimed at the perfection of the soul. So you can't say I believe in God and in religious law, but I don't think it affects the soul. Then you're stripping it of its essential characteristic. You know, then you're just making it into like a behavioral exercise, and behavioral exercises are not what religious law is. Religious law is for the perfection that you can't attain just through man-made systems. Give physical reward, right? He's saying religion doesn't have to give physical reward. Physical reward is only if you hold that there's a physical reward in Olam Hazeh. He said that's only a raya to the that the system is true. No, because he says later. He says later that some Chazal hold schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. Schar is a sheet like that in the Gemara. Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. There's no schar mitzvah in this world. He says we don't hold that way, right? Because the Gemara says the father sends his son to go and send away the bird and falls into the tree and breaks his neck. So you see, he's Mischar Mitzvah by Amaleka. But, so he says that if you're going to hold that there is Mischar Mitzvah by Alma, it's only a raya to the mitzvah, to the schar in Olam Haba. You need these three elements. But he's not going into the relationship of how the schar he comes from the dust. But he's saying that to have the idea, the true concept of religious law, requires these three things. Requires God, existence of God, and Torah min Hashemayim, which is a good question. We'll have to talk about that. Torah min Hashemayim, and that there's a consequence of this law that's aimed at the soul. And that's what he talks more about in the fourth book. That because that's really man. It has to do with your idea of man. That if you hold that man is really the man is not an animal, not a regular animal, but not just a physical animal, but man has an essential component of the soul, then that has to be where the ultimate reward is. Right? Right. We were discussing a couple weeks ago the question of what the Rambam says that one of the karm is believing in schar v'onesh. Right, schar v'onesh is one of the gimli karm. But the question was, what idea of schar v'onesh do you have to have in order to be included in that? In order to have that knowledge of that ikar. In other words, for instance, the Rambam says in the beginning of Chelek, So the Rambam says in the beginning of Chelek, there are five ideas in Olam Haba, right? Some people believe it's Gan Eden, right? He goes through the different ideas, right? And then he says he devotes a lot of time to the correct idea of Olam Haba. Right, and then in the Iker, he says what? In the Yesod, he says, "Vayesod ha'achadasar, shehu yisal mishalim gemul tov l'misha makayim mitzvah sator, umanish misha over al azharoseh." That the 11th Yesod is that God pays a good reward to the one who fulfills the mitzvahs of the Torah and punishes the ones who violate the Torah. V'she gemulo ha-gadol hu ha-olam haba. Right? He puts that in. That's part of the yesod. V'on sho ha-chomor ha-kores. Right? He puts that in. He says there's a yesod. Part of the yesod is schar v'onesh in general. And then knowledge that the ultimate reward is Olam Haba and the ultimate onesh is Karis. So the question was, what about, do you have to have the proper idea? I mean, it seems from the Rambam it's not just enough to have an idea of Schar V'Onesh alone. It would seem so, right? Because he seems to require knowledge of the Gemul HaGadol and the Onesh HaGadol. Right, but what type of knowledge do you have to have of those? I mean, is he saying if a guy thinks that Olam Haba is Gan Eden, he's not he doesn't have this episode? Right. I mean, the question you asked me was, what if a person just believes in right like that? A person just believes in physical reward. Just believes in physmal reward. Like the Yishmaelim, right? They believe they're going to they become transported to a lush tropical setting and enjoy all the tithes of the world, right? Would a person like that be would a person be outside of the Yesod, right? We were discussing this a couple weeks ago. Well, you ask, what if a person doesn't believe in a schar in Olam Haba at all, right? Say he just believes in physical schar. Here. And then you die. Right? Yeah. So what do you say? In other words, what's the ikar? The question is, what is this yesod? What is this yesod really? What is the yesod of schar v'onesh? What's the Yesod of Schar Varnish? According to the Rambam. According to the Rambam. Are this Yesod. In other words, the Yesod is really broken up into two parts. He has a general idea. Shehu Yisala Mishalim Gemul Tov L'Misha Mekayim Mitzvah Sator. Right? Umanish Misha Over Al Azar Osel. Right? Oh, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so what is that part? What's the emphasis on that part? Shehu Yisala Mishalim Gemul Tov L'Misha Mekayim Mitzvah Sator. What's the emphasis there? That asiyas ha-mitzvos has reward. And violation of the mitzvos has onesh. What does that mean? That's the nature, that has to do with the nature of Torah. The nature of mitzvos. Right? They're not optional, without consequences. Right? That's part of the yesod of Schar Va'onesh is defining what Torah is. The person looks at the Torah as guidelines, recommendations without consequences. He's missing an essential idea of what Torah is. I was just trying to take it point by point. We're just going point by point. Right now, in the first sentence, the Rambam does not just say what the schar or the onesh is. He just says shehu yisalem mishalem gemul tov l'mishe makayim mitzvah Torah. Very general. Umaanish misha over al azar osel. That's it. Very general statement that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu pays the gemul tov and is manish. But what's the second half? Vishe gemulu hagadol hu olam haba, the onsho hachomer hakares. What's the second half? No, the first half we're saying is essential to knowing the nature of the system. That's a system that has consequences, right? Meaning there's a reality to it. Okay. But what's the second half? The second half is telling you where that what reality is being affected. You understand? Telling you which reality is the safer? What reality is the safer? Is the Torah designed to affect? Olam haba and kares. Meaning to say what? That it requires a recognition of the person, that a person is that Adam has a soul, and this Olam Haba means something beyond this life, whatever it means to you, beyond this life, and that's the part of man that the Torah is designed for. You understand? That's really, I think, the yesod over there. That to understand twofold, that the Torah is a sefer of reality, and reality means consequences, schar and onesh, and for what? For the highest part of man. For the ultimate part of man. You understand? If you would just believe that it's schar v'onesh in this world, then that would be like Seferi Karim is saying. It would just be like a civil penal code. It wouldn't be a sefer that addresses the ultimate part of man. It would just be a sefer of human behavior. You understand? That would not be a religious law. So I think in this point the Sefer Yekarim and the Rambam's Yesod are very similar. And it's the same idea that you have to understand that there's a reality, but religion means, Torah means, it's addressing the essential reality of man, the essential quality of man, which is the nefesh. And that's why that's the second half. that it's a gemul, the ultimate, you have to know two things. You have to know that there is gemul and there is onesh, and you have to know that the gemul ha-gadol is olam haba, and the onesh ha-chomor is karis. Meaning to say, the ultimate end. What's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is defined by the ultimate reward and the ultimate punishment. So that's in the realm of the eternal component in there. So if a person would only believe the schar of onesh in this world, he would be nafikaris. He would be out of the yisod. But I don't think. That the person has to have a sophisticated idea of what Olam Haba is. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think the person just has to know which realm the Torah, right, what realm the Torah is, what type of a sefer the Torah is. It's a sefer of mitzvos and reality for the ultimate, for the essential quality, for the part of man that the Telem Elokim that exists after the physical world. If he thinks that somehow his soul reunites with another guf somehow and it lives on a somewhat eternal physical whatever it is, I don't think that's a problem, because that's only possible because he recognizes the man as a Telem Elokim that has a way of existing beyond the physical. See, the question is like this. I mean, take the first five of his groups, right? I mean, they're pretty primitive ideas, right? Take the third. Just saw it first, right? Ha'osher ha'miyuchal hu'tchias ha'mesim v'hu she'yichi ha'adam achemos v'yachzer imishpachto v'krov v'yochal v'yishtev v'lo yomasod. Right? Right. So would that person be in the Yisod or out of the Yisod? So you see, I'm not saying, you're right, David, that if that's the person's idea of the ultimate reward, if that's his idea of the ultimate existence, that's not an idea that... That's not an existence that's really utilizing the Telem Elokim, right? It's sort of like an eternal Nefesh HaBahami type of a thing, right? Yeah. So I want to answer though. I would say like this, that in terms of the right ideas, he definitely does not have the right idea of Olam Haba. He doesn't have the right idea of Olam Haba. He does not have the right idea of what the true Schar is. And he doesn't have the right idea of the Telem Elokim. I mean, he doesn't have the appreciation of it, right? But the question is, what does the Yisod demand? What does the Yisod demand? Does the Yisod demand the correct knowledge? Or does the Yisod demand that you view the Sefer in a certain way? That you perceive the Torah in a certain way? Mean like this. As long as the person recognizes that he has something eternal and that the Torah is the sefer that brings that to reality, that would seem to be enough. He has the right yesodos. Now, of course, he has to fill in a lot. He has to build a lot on those yesodos to get the true ideas. But you can't demand of a person correct knowledge from the outset. So it's true. And the Rama, each one of these kitos in the beginning, he says they have reasons for saying this. He says velomdim gam al zem b'mamori chazal u'miksas psukim in ha'mikros hamatinu l'tanezah. So it's a haschala. I mean, it's certainly, if you look at the Yigim Likarim as the perfected knowledge, or the perfected body of knowledge, then you're right. He doesn't have that. In terms of the perfected body of knowledge, he certainly doesn't have the correct idea of Olam Haba. Certainly not the one the Rambam spent so much time explaining, right? And he says in the Maamar Tzachias HaMeisim, he has to spend so much time because it's an abstract point. So the person definitely doesn't have that. But in terms of the right general description of the Torah and of man, that he has an essential eternal element, and the Torah is for that, that you could say he does have. Right. So that's what he's saying over in the Sefer Yikarim also, that in that sense, I think he means Schar V'Onesh is an essential component. Right? Schar V'Onesh of the soul. And then he only says the Schar V'Onesh of the guf is a riot to the Schar V'Onesh of the soul. No, even because the reason why he says about the guf is because even without, he only wants to say things that have to be. So he's saying even if the Torah gave no schar to the guf, that wouldn't lack in being a religious system. So if you are going to say that there's a schar for the guf, it can't be an essential reason. You can't say it as an essential reason. So he's giving you a secondary reason. It's just a riot to the essential thing.
How is it a proof?
All right, that he goes into the fourth maamar. I mean, these are just the Rosh Hashanah. It's a proof of the Hashkachas Hashem. Okay. So he says like this. He says, and these three karam are the basis of this covers the whole gamut of religious law. V'hu shemanu osam chazal b'parachelik b'mishnah v'omru shakofer b'echad mehem eina b'chlal bali hados u'lezeh ein lo chelik olam haba. So they said, Kol Yisrael, so he says, this is really chelik. This is really the Mishnah chelik. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelik olam haba. Right. V'am chokul and tzadikim olam yishu aretz. V'elu hein she'ein lem chelik olam haba. Who doesn't have olam haba? Yeah. So the Mishnah is like this: Ve'elu she'ein lem chelik olam haba, ha'omer ein tchias hamesim, ve'ein Torah min hashamayim v'apikaris. He only takes the Tanakhama. So he says this really; those three represent these three karm, these three haschalos. He calls them. How he says tchias hamesim means that you deny schar v'onesh, which is hinted at with Tchias HaMeisim. Okay. Because that is a...
Physical abstain or
something? He wants to say, yeah, because it's a Shehu Poel. He says it's a... he says it's an act of God with the soul and the guf. And it includes all types of schar. And he says the Chazal used Tchias HaMeisim to represent all types of schar, beklal v'yichad, meaning beklal v'prat. Every, it's like a, it's a representative of every schar. So they took that tchias amazim, as a not tchias amazim dafka, but as a representative of a class of schar v'onesh. He says sometimes Chazal refer to when they use the word tchias amazim. Sometimes it's talking about tchias amazim beprat. And sometimes it's talking about Onesh HaNeshamos V'Olam Haba V'Yom HaDin B'Chlal. It could be used as a general expression. As an expression of a general idea. Okay, V'Gam Sham Bi'aru Inyan HaMashiach Shuschar Gufi Lirmoz Al Kol Mini Aschar. Okay. The Gemara is talking about Mashiach, right? V'Yachach Monu HaOmer Ein Torah Min HaShemayim V'Hu HaIkar HaAcher V'Yachach Monu HaPikaros. What's the apikaris? He says, "Lufimasha nimsa l'rishona mishem apikor epicurus." Right? Who ish hayachoshev she'olam nofel b'mikra? So he says he was a person who believed the world just was an accident, happened by accident. He was machish mitzias Hashem as the creator, and the ones who followed him are called apikarsim. So he says, so you see, the Mishnah really is taking all three. Okay, and the kofer bohen ain lo chelik olam haba. Ki hu yotzi mechlal Bale Hadas. He's out of the category of someone who believes in religion. It says even though in the Gemara they count other people, right? I'm sorry. Even though it says an apikoros is one who's mevaze talmidei chachamim, right? He says it still means the same thing because the talmidei chacham are the ones who give you the knowledge of God. And if you mevaz them, that means you're cut off from that knowledge. So the way he learns that Gemara, he learns the Gemara of mevaz the Talmid Chacham, not that it's an onesh for being mevaz the Talmid Chacham, but it means if you mevaz the Talmid Chacham, then mamele you're not going to have the knowledge of God, right? Like Ram has in Hilchos Tshuva, right? Yeah. So he says, even though there are other particulars, he says they all really fall under that heading of three. Okay. All right. So that ikar of three has different branches, but those are the headings. I will stop here. So maybe.